WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Fresh fears on Wall Street of a possible banking crisis. A top backer saying he will not be able to provide any more cash to support Swiss bank Credit Suisse.
This is a big bank now. This is different from Silicon Valley Bank, where it had about $220 billion in assets. Credit Suisse has over $720 billion in assets. If regulators don't rush in here and try to fix a possible bad situation, we could see shockwaves throughout the entire banking system.
ABC business reporter Alexis Christophorus. The S&P had been down 2% during the day, but ended with a loss of 27 points. Abortion opponents rallying in Texas, where a federal judge heard arguments over the most common form of abortion medication, mifepristone.
There's not any good guidelines that I can see to protect those who take it.
Conservative group challenging the FDA's approval of the drug, which happened years ago. State officials in Texas taking over Houston's public school district. This is ABC News. The State Department issuing a travel alert for Americans planning to spend spring break in Mexico. They're warned to exercise increased caution, especially after dark at resorts experiencing gang violence. It's as wide as the U.S. and it's heading straight for Florida.
Imagine flying from Boston nonstop to Hawaii and all you see below you is seaweed, a bloom just that long, about 5,000 miles worth, floating right now in the Atlantic.
That is moving westward towards the Caribbean region and will be making its way to the Gulf of Mexico and South Florida.
Florida Atlantic professor Dr. John LaPointe says what it is a type of algae, and that's okay. However, that much of it could affect a whole lot, stinking of rotten eggs and possibly smothering fish and turtles, expected to hit the Florida coast in June. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Nearly 17 million American households getting subsidized internet as part of President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law. Now the administration will administer $73 million in grants to community organizations as part of an outreach. Andy Field, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Aaron Rodgers says he's going to New York. More in a minute. The city of Madison started paying some families $500 a month in September. The research says so far about 60% of that money was spent on clothes and food, about 20% went to transportation, and about 10% went to bills or rent. Lawmakers will decide later about unbanning conversion therapy in Wisconsin, Racine Democrat Greta Neubauer.
I am just so disappointed that we cannot agree to ban a policy that directly increases the risk of depression and suicide in children.
So the ban stays lifted for now. Governor Evers promises to veto the bill if it ever passes. In sports, Aaron Rodgers is publicly acknowledging his plans to play for the New York Jets next season. He tells the Pat McAfee podcast the Jets and Green Bay Packers are working out the details. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
I just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this. We reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
Let's begin now.
You know, today, I just woke up and I said this.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregivers Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers. Today's show is sponsored by Group Health Cooperative of South Central Wisconsin, a nonprofit, member-owned health plan providing high-quality care and health insurance service to over 85,000 members living in South Central Wisconsin.
Each week, we do this show to support the nearly 600,000 family caregivers in Wisconsin and to raise awareness on caregiver issues. So on that, let's jump right in.
Yes, I cannot wait to speak to today's guest. But before we do, I just want to share that if you want to do more to protect your mental health, learn how to advocate for yourself, and have a more productive conversations, join us for our six-week Powerful Tools for Caregivers course. This is a free offering. You can sign up at empoweredcaregivercommunity.com, and it'll be on Wednesday, April 12th through May 17th from 12 to 1:30 p.m. via Zoom.
So I'm really excited to talk about that course that we're going to be leading. But before we dig into more of that, I cannot wait to introduce you to Edie Nathan. She is a therapist, author, and grief expert. Hello, Edie. You have on your website that you are dedicated to helping people understand their grief, cope with the fear and struggle that holds them back, and learn to live fully. Can you please introduce yourself and tell listeners more about what you do?
Absolutely. I love your enthusiasm because we're talking about, it's great, you know?
Thank you.
We're talking about things that we don't talk about, that we don't want to talk about. And it's often been very much disguised or hidden. And my goal is, even though I'm a clinician, even though I talk about grief and I talk about burnout and I talk about the experience sometimes of trauma that aligns with being a caretaker because of what you see and what you take in, that I guess my experience or experiences, you know, look at grief as an ally. It can, and look at the grief of a caretaker as an ally.
Well, Edie, I think that's why you might be sensing the enthusiasm in my voice, right? It's not that I necessarily think grief is something that we should all just like get ready to talk about on a Wednesday evening over a glass of wine. It's just that grief is something that I have experienced and that I'm experiencing. We haven't had a chance to necessarily introduce ourselves to you, but both Liza and I are parents of adult children with disabilities. I'm currently going through a divorce, and I've also helped both of my parents pass on to the next place that people go. So grief is something I've experienced a ton of, and it's been the classic grief of a loss of a family member and someone that I love, but it's also been this more untraditional grief of having an adult daughter with disabilities and knowing that I'm going to have to have a different path, a different trajectory than I expected, and recognizing that part of that's going to involve grief, right? And then again, there's the more classic sense of grief that comes with ending a pretty profound relationship. So I think the enthusiasm you're sensing is that I just know you have a lot to offer me, because grief is something that's knocking on my door all the time.
Mm-hmm. And you have a book called It's Grief, The Dance of Self-Discovery Through Trauma. This book features a compelling mix of science-based knowledge with heart-centered compassion on how grief can affect people at every level of their being. I wholeheartedly believe that, but as an individual, I would think that it would take a level of self-awareness. So what is the first step that people can do to learn how grief is impacting them?
Well, grief is an individual process, right? No one experiences it exactly the same way.
Sure.
So what might be a first step for one person is not necessarily going to be the first step for another. So I can't really tell you what the first step is. What I can tell you, though, is that the thing that we want to ignore, which is often the grief response and however it affects you, is the very thing that we need to embody and dance with. And the dance is going to be different for everyone.
Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Sure.
Yeah, thanks.
So grief, we push it away, and sometimes grief, caretaker's grief, can lead to anxiety. And so what do we want to do when we feel anxiety? All we want to do is push it away and pretend that it doesn't exist. But there's a thing about anxiety. When you want to push it away, guess what happens? Mm-hmm. It gets bigger. Mm-hmm. And it keeps on knocking, and it keeps on saying, come on, I'm here. And the more you push it away, the bigger it gets. But if you invite it in and you say, I'm not afraid of you, maybe you can teach me something. And maybe that dysregulated state that I get into when I am grieving and feeling anxious, I can actually begin to address through breath work, through exercise, through talking about it, through finding my own agency.
I like that. And I think maybe what Liza's question might lead to, if I can make a connection here, is that that first step is being open to inviting it in.
It could be, but it's either inviting in anxiety, or I think of the first phase of grief as what I call the emotional armor phase. And do I think that people, that's what people experience? Yes. Whether they are grieving the loss of a loved one, or they're grieving the loss of a caretaking role, or they're grieving a divorce. And that is the place where numbness exists. That's the place where the brain is feeling very disordered, and it's a respite also.
I think that does help clarify. And I think for me, when I was thinking about it, there's different forms of grief. And I'm sure when you have grief of a loss of a loved one, or, you know, a relationship ending, it's very clear to draw that distinction. You know, how I'm feeling or what's coming up is grief. That seems obvious. But I know that there's also more subtle forms of grief, or you may not be realizing that, wow, this is grief that I'm dealing with. This is the problem. And so I guess that's where I was more curious. How do you get to that place where you can label it as such?
So my first question when anyone comes into my office, or I'm speaking to people on Zoom, or I'm talking about this, I don't want to know the story, your story, immediately. What I want to know is, what are you yearning for? And what have you lost? And that opens up an entire conversation that enables perhaps a different response than the one that people tend to go to by rote, because they've spoken of it so much.
Well, that, or else I think what both of you have already brought up that's touching me is that, yes, it's very clear when my parents passed away, it's very clear as a marriage is ending that I'm going to be going through those classic stages of grief. But what I didn't understand is that by having an adult daughter with disabilities, I was going to grieve having a daughter with a wedding. I was going to grieve having a daughter that was going to provide grandkids for me, because that is not in Nicole's future. And I don't mean that from a negative standpoint. I mean that from a preserving her and what her abilities are, right? Those are not things that should be part of her journey. And I didn't understand for a long time that those were the things I was grieving when sometimes I presented as angry or resentful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I hear you speak to this, and you're right. Grief hides in many ways, and it loves to play hide and seek. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to determine what's going on. And it can look like anger or depression or anxiety or frustration or rage. And really, what's going on is grief.
Interesting.
Exactly. And I guess that's kind of what I was getting at. Not that I'm trying to use this hour as a therapy session, although I would absolutely love it, is, you know, for me, it kind of was the fact that, you know, I graduated and went on to school and wanted to become this career woman, right? And had big lofty goals for myself. And I had a son fairly young, on the autism spectrum, and I stayed home and I did everything that I needed to do for him. And there was a lot of stuff going on emotionally that probably was grief, right? What I wanted or what I had hoped for had kind of dissolved or turned into something else, but I was not able to identify that until probably years later.
Right. I didn't identify mine as, you know, as grief until years later either. Excuse me. This question that we crafted beforehand, Edie, it might fit into this, or it might just be asking you to repeat the same thing so you can be honest. So where or how do you see grief showing up in people's lives where they might not expect it? Does that lead you to think about something different than what we're talking about here? Where?
Well, it's a yes and. Okay, you know, when we take medication and we're not the same people, there can be grief. The medication may help the depression or the anxiety, but then there is this some sense of a loss of self. And grief can evolve when there is that sense of a loss of self or a loss of hope, or a loss of the life you thought you were going to be leading. And so is it lurking? You bet. Does it come out for caregivers? Yes. Does it occur for people who work in long-term care facilities? Yes. Or for people who are working in hospitals or physicians or PAs? Yes, yes, and yes. And it's accompanied often by burnout. And I actually have a program that I developed in Canada for social workers working in long-term care homes, teaching them how to actually create a program for staff, for residents, and for families on burnout, on trauma, and on grief.
Mm. We're talking with Edie Nathan, wow, national speaker, therapist, and author on the impacts of grief and trauma in our lives and how we all have it in some form and what we can do about it. Listen next to pick up this conversation.
GHC knows I have. When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces.
the same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $150 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
still goes through those developmental years, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Edie, you're singing my song.
We'll have those feelings.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I've shared some on the show, not a ton. And, you know, that's to honor my daughter's dignity. But yes, she is 21 and she has the libido of a 21-year-old young woman, but she has the cognitive yes. ability of about a 6-year-old. And so there's a lot of navigating we're doing as parents, and we're co-parenting, you know, really well, but we are trying to figure out how to give her the freedom for sexual expression, but also protect her from any time where she might become vulnerable. And so I think this is a really important point that you bring out. And I see in some of the communities that we're in, people with physical disabilities who might be, you know, in very unfortunate and stereotypical ways perceived as somebody who would never be sexual, but that's completely inappropriate, because just what we physically present isn't necessarily what we spiritually and energetically and sexually present. So this is going to be a continued interesting conversation with you, Edie, as we return from the break and talk more about sexual grief and how to be attuned to it.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Fresh fears on Wall Street of a possible banking crisis. A top backer saying he will not be able to provide any more cash to support Swiss bank Credit Suisse.
This is a big bank now. This is different from Silicon Valley Bank, where it had about $220 billion in assets. Credit Suisse has over $720 billion in assets. If regulators don't rush in here and try to fix a possible bad situation, we could see shockwaves throughout the entire banking system.
ABC business reporter Alexis Christophorus. The S&P had been down 2% during the day, but ended with a loss of 27 points. Abortion opponents rallying in Texas, where a federal judge heard arguments over the most common form of abortion medication, mifepristone.
There's not any good guidelines that I can see to protect those who take it.
Conservative group challenging the FDA's approval of the drug, which happened years ago. State officials in Texas taking over Houston's public school district. This is ABC News.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Aaron Rodgers says he's going to New York. More in a minute. The state assembly passed two bills yesterday aimed at crime at school. One of them would require crimes on school property to be part of the information parents get when making school choice decisions. Delafield Republican Cindy Duckow.
This is a tool that parents deserve and community members deserve so they can find out what's going on and see how safe their kids are at school right now.
Another bill would require schools with enough incidents in one semester to hire a school resource officer. Four acting state cabinet secretaries get Senate confirmation hearings today. Senators refused to give Governor Evers' nominees confirmation hearings during his first 4 years in office. In sports, Aaron Rodgers is publicly acknowledging his plans to play for the New York Jets next season. He tells the Pat McAfee podcast the Jets and Green Bay Packers are working out the details. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
5 hours of special spring primary election coverage. A dozen reporters, hosts, and political experts tracking results for you around Wisconsin.
Everything from your local races to the Supreme Court.
Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly moving on to the general election.
Coverage you won't find anywhere else. And we're doing it all again for the important general election in April.
Elections or anytime, we're here for you. Your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Greg Bach is here because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Greg Bach, what is this hour called?
the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh, it's you know right. What, Jane? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
Weekdays 11 to 2.
What do you think got me this job, Craig Bach?
Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
On Civic Media.
Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
And the Civic Media app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Liza Hellenbrand and Kristen Voss, and we've been talking with Edie Nathan, a licensed sex therapist, speaking about sexual grief. And I just wanted to clarify, because I'm not sure if I'm understanding it correctly, when we're talking about sexual grief, does that need to come from a past sexual trauma experience or related grief in that sense, or can it be just general grief that you're experiencing, that you have, that has carried itself into the bedroom?
Okay.
It's a deep question.
It's all is good. All is good, because it doesn't really have to do with the bedroom.
Okay. Oh, that's where you hesitated. Okay.
And so that's where I hesitated. It's not about what goes on in the bedroom. It's what interrupts one's ability to be intimate, to have self-love. Sexual grief is an interrupter, and there does not need to be sexual trauma. The reason I worded it the way I worded it is because a sexually traumatic event or experience, the event is often external, like abuse or violence or something of that nature, or, you know, the voices from people who have bullied or hurt. Okay. That can be a sexually traumatic, you know, event, or, you know, there is then the developmental timeline where the unwanted child or the person who was born with disabilities, you know, must, deal with messaging around either their disability or having been unwanted, or for girls who menstruate and have never been told that they were going to have a period, and they think they're bleeding to death.
Sure.
And as a result of feeling this every time they get their periods, they have a reaction and they're terrified, and the terror reigns through their lives. Or someone who's experienced religious trauma syndrome, which is a real thing. And this is when messaging from very, very conservative religious cults, as an example, dominate the person and the way they relate to their sexual selves.
Okay, so I think that's clear, right? That anybody who's gone through something that distinctly traumatic is going to be experiencing what you've defined as sexual grief. And during the break, you explained that you've kind of coined that term, and that for you, you're saying it's an, I don't even want to use your words again, say it for me one last time. What is the definition?
It's a natural response to an unnatural, sexually traumatic event or experience.
Okay. So what I'd like to do, though, is bring this back to the family caregiver, right? So here we are, the Empowered Caregiver Show. And I think what Liza might have been trying to ask, or what I'm interested in, is we have these family caregivers that haven't necessarily gone through such a clear-cut definition of trauma sexual trauma like you just defined, but is there an aspect to being a family caregiver that could be bringing up sexual grief for them because of the disruption and extra challenges that they have in their life of being a caregiver, as well as being a parent, a daughter, a professional, you know, anything, put any of those. Well, and I also don't want to make it just about women, that there's also men that are caregivers, right? So do you, can you help make that connection for us that might be a little bit more mainstream?
I think that I was talking about sexual grief as a caregiver who was coping with a child grown into an adult. Mm-hmm. Who's got disabilities.
Well, that makes sense.
And so it's not the care, right? And it's not necessarily the caregiver who is experiencing the sexual grief. What they are experiencing probably is a desire to mask the sexual desires or needs of their child or grown adult who has needs.
Right. And of course you went there because that's what I asked you to do, right? Because I was mentioning my daughter. But now I'm asking you to address, can somebody have sexual grief just because they're a family caregiver?
Well, they could if what happens for them, the event is that they are a caregiver. And that event has caused so much chaos within the brain that they're no longer able to partner with a partner. Mm-hmm. If they have one, they are no longer able to live a life that they were thinking they were going to live. And perhaps that affects their ability to get close to someone. They may feel the need to just concentrate on the role of the caregiver. And within that role, there is often burnout. And within that role, there's also often trauma or a traumatic response because they have a loss of their needs, their desires. I mean, we were just speaking about, you know, the desire to, you know, be in the world and be a working woman that is very much involved in the world. And then, you know, a child is born and they have needs. And as a result of those needs, everything you thought you were going to do and have disappears. And so that loss of self, perhaps even some shame that goes right into that, you know, cuts into or affects, perhaps, not always, the body, desire, and yearning.
I think you hit the nail right on the head there, Edie, where I was going or what I was getting at with that. You know, I guess kind of on a personal level as a caregiver is, you know, that loss of desire or, you know, even the shame and the guilt and when it comes to that intimacy, it's like there's a wall or something because you're feeling so many other emotions. So I think you explained that beautifully. Thank you. I want to switch gears a little bit. I know each show we ask powerful questions, those that have you reflect on your personal experience and wisdom. When it comes to being a family caregiver, there can be a lot of guilt involved, as we just mentioned. How are guilt and grief related? And what can a family caregiver do with those feelings of guilt?
Well, not everyone feels guilt the same way, right? Guilt, like grief, is going to be an individual experience. Mm. Guilt is often around what you feel you've done, like something you've done or something you're not doing, you know? And there's the critic. There's the judge that comes up around guilt. And again, it's what I discussed at the very top of the show, inviting it in. So instead of saying, oh God, I can't deal with this, to say, okay, what is it saying? Why is it present? How can I speak to this? And if there is guilt, what is the guilt about? What is the judgment about? How is the critic coming in? Is the critic saying you're not doing enough, or you're not allowed to laugh, or you're not allowed to have your own life, or you're not allowed to have desire, or you shouldn't go out and and spend a night with friends. Instead, you're only in the way that the role of the caretaker has captured you. Mm. And what do you do about it? You begin to find arenas and areas where you get to know who you are outside of the role of caretaker.
Wow. Wow, that gives me a lot to think about.
Yeah.
And it also makes me want to just ask a little bit more about you, Edie. What brought you to this work? I mean, how are you able to see this perspective that you're bringing to us and that you're bringing to the readers of your soon-to-be, well, you already have one book, but the next one that's coming out. Yeah, what brought you to this work?
In the first book, it's Grief, The Dance of Self-Discovery Through Trauma and Loss. I wanted people to think of grief as a journey and that we kind of can't escape it. And I talk a lot about the me, myself, and I. It's like grief teaches you who you are, what you need. And I learned so much about grief because of my own losses, because of my own traumas. And those losses and those traumas affected me in such a way that I had to pivot. You both have talked about pivoting. I had to pivot. And the world that I thought I was going to get into, which was theater and acting and public speaking in the corporate world, stopped when I lost my first love and changed my entire trajectory of my life.
Well, sure. I mean, that's it, right? Is that grief comes from these things that are going to be unexpected. And whether they're things that are, like I said, those more traditional aspects of losing somebody for good because they've passed away, or losing what you thought was going to be the trajectory of your life.
And if I may then add that sexual grief came into the conversation somewhere around 2017, 2018, and all of a sudden I'd already been writing my first book, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, trauma, grief. I often say, I talk about the things people don't want to talk about: trauma, grief, and sex. And the thing is that when you put the three together and you are a caregiver, it is very, very hard to cope with the magnitude of what they offer. And so I realized, oh my, I must find a way to speak on this topic. I must define it and cultivate all the different ways that it comes into one's life.
Yes. That makes complete sense. I have one follow-up question that I really want to get in there. I know that there's different phases and everyone's journey is different, but what does it look like when you come out the other side? I'm sure it takes a lot of work, a lot of self-awareness, but what does life look like when you do the work? What can you expect?
It's different for everyone. you want an answer.
I do.
And I understand that you do. But everybody's journey, everybody's, like, you know, part of this world is who you were and who you become, and how you move through those phases affects how you, what you decide to become. Some people say, I'm going to pay this life forward and I'm going to do so, which is what I did. I decided to pay Paul's life forward, and I decided to say, I'm going to embody the teaching of this to all people because I can see how it affects all people. Other people might say, you know what? I'm never talking about this. I'm going into hiding. I'm never taking off my wedding band, or I'm never talking about my child with disabilities, or I'm never going to show that I've lost a limb, or I've lost a house, or I have a mental illness.
Great point.
And so I'm going to just remain hidden. And other people will become senators and advocates for gun control. And other people will become dancers with one leg. So how do you, what can you expect?
Depends on you.
Anything and everything.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
It's beautiful, actually.
It is. It is. And I'm sorry for the one-size-fits-all approach, but I would imagine that generally speaking, there has to be a certain level of enlightenment, right? When you listen to the grief, when you're open to the story that it's telling, when you go through the phases and process, I would think that you would come out the other side a better person. Otherwise, you didn't do the work, right? You're still stuck.
But it's hard. Everybody does the work in their own way, right? And they blossom in the way that they need to blossom. And some people stay exactly where they are, and that's what they need. And there's no right or wrong. Mm.
Thank you for that. You're listening to Edie Nathan, who is a grief therapist. We'll be right back after this short break.
GHC doesn't care.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Hey, Fox Valley. If you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station. Civic Media.
Know where to find you, what they can expect, and where they can get your books and any upcoming events that you have going on.
Well, I'm really excited about the upcoming event that's happening in September, and it's a cruise, an inner voyage cruise. I am the keynote speaker. It's for 6 nights, and it's it goes out of Florida, and you kind of choose what workshops you want to go to. And, you know, we're going to have about 100 people joining us. So I hope that you join us. And that's going to really be a lot of fun. Other than that, you can certainly know more about me, edynathan.com. That's edynathan.com. You can find me on Psychology Today on Medium and all of social media. So please write to me, ask me questions, and don't be shy. I always answer whatever questions comes my way.
Okay, this is the first I've heard about the cruise. So, Edie, I might be seeing you soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time today.
Yep, we really appreciate your time. And now today thank you very much. Sorry. And now I want to be able to introduce Megan Ramstek from the American Parkinson Association of Wisconsin. Parkinson's disease affects about 1 in 100 Americans over the age of 60. Welcome, Megan. Before we have you tell us a little bit about yourself, I know we want to make sure that we give you the microphone to be able to let listeners know about upcoming events and how they can support the Parkinson's Association.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
We are so excited about our upcoming event. It is the Parkinson's Half Marathon 5K and More in Cottage Grove on April 15th. This is the 11th year of the event, and we are going all out. We've got a hot breakfast buffet with coffee, hot chocolate, craft beer. We've got live music, face painting, a petting farm. You can register online or find out more information by going to apdaparkinson.org/WI for Wisconsin.
Okay, so... Wait.
Event on Facebook.
Okay, no, I love that, but wait, I got to go back. A petting zoo?
Yes.
Why not?
David's petting farm.
No, I love it. I love it. So Nicole and I are going to do this. Tell me all the details one more time. Just recap them. So when is this happening?
Sure. It is April 15th at Bakken Park in Cottage Grove, Wisconsin. You can register for the half marathon, the 5K, the walk, the kids run, or just purchase a wristband for breakfast and activities.
Sweet. And we're going to find this. Say your website for us one more time, please.
apdaparkinson.org/WI for Wisconsin. Or like I said, you could just Google it or look it up on Facebook.
Sure. Yeah. Excellent.
And on that note, I want to make sure that we're getting this right, because I've learned today that there's different Parkinson's associations. So you are with the American Parkinson's Disease Association of Wisconsin, APDA. Did I get that right?
Yeah. So APDA is just the shortened version of American Parkinson's Disease Association. Okay. We're a national organization that started in 1961. But each branch kind of focuses on their local region and community. So if someone to donate $1 to me right now, I would send 25 cents to National for research and keep 75 cents right here in Wisconsin to help our residents.
Mm, wonderful.
Love it.
And I know you have a lot of resources on your website. Can you let listeners know a little bit what the association has to offer you, where they can find you? I know you put your website out there, but what is a first step? You've got this diagnosis. You just got it yesterday. I'm on your website. Now what?
If you were just diagnosed, I just think the best important thing to do is find a group, whether it's a support group, an exercise class, or just regular social gatherings. Having other people you can relate to and ask for advice is a critical critical for positive outlook.
I guess I should have clarified a little bit. Do you guys have any of those offerings? Do you have support groups, exercise, or different activities?
Sure. So on our website, you can find a list of all of the exercise groups and support groups that we know of throughout all of Wisconsin. We also have a bunch of other resources. Obviously, you can check it out. But I think some of the important ones to let people know about, we have that list. We have financial assistance for people who are struggling. And we have a community that you can become part of by attending our events and meeting people that are facing the same problems.
I love that. I mean, that's what we're trying to do here with our show, the Empowered Caregiver Community. And so since this is a show for family caregivers, does the APDA have any offerings that are specifically there to support the family caregivers?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. We are about to launch our very first APDA Wisconsin Care Partner Support Group. It's going to meet once a month beginning in May at a brand new senior living campus, the Courtyard in Fitchburg.
Oh, yeah.
When someone becomes a care partner, they start wearing a lot of hats. They go from a spouse to an advocate, a nurse, a therapist. And what I hear a lot is that partners burn out faster than people with PD. So our dream is to turn this support group into a huge success and then use that model to launch new support groups all over the state. Because during the pandemic, we lost a lot of those groups.
Definitely. Well, and I love that we're going to start this collaboration because it means that we'll have you back and we'll continue more of this conversation so that we can hear about how we can. I love the term care partners, right? How we can support you and you can support us to make that vision come true.
Thank you so much.
I'd love to come back anytime. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
Be sure to join us next week as we talk with Latonya Johnson, who was elected to Wisconsin's 6th District in 2016 and previously served in Wisconsin's 17th Assembly District since 2012. She's the 6th District, or excuse me, the 6th District includes residential, urban, and downtown Milwaukee. We'll also be speaking with Representative Jenna Jacobson from Oregon on the governor's budget and the proposals that impact family caregivers and what caregivers need to do to get these proposals passed.
Yes, we know how important all this legislative stuff is and all this advocacy work we want to do, but we will also be talking with Erin DeGrave. I think I'm saying it right.
I think you are too.
Okay, and that she is a nutritionist from the Hy-Vee food store chain, and she's going to speak with us about nutrition and well-being and what Hy-Vee has to offer to help you with your health needs.
Which I think is so cool that a grocery store has their own nutritionist that covers the entire state. So whether you have diabetes, looking to lose weight, she is there to help you get your grocery list together. So listen to us next week.
And we know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting, so that's why we want to end each show with our positive note. You got this, and together we are stronger. So stay connected to the empowered caregiver community. Night, everybody. And all we want to do is get by today. Hey, we're going to have a good day.
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of up to 50% off on our Civic Media premium weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic